In the name of Jesus. Dear Christian friends, St. Paul refuses to separate his conversion to the Christian faith from his call to preach the gospel. It was in Christ calling him to preach the gospel that Paul also became a Christian. His conversion experience on the road to Damascus is perhaps better described as his call and ordination into the apostolate, into the ministry of the word. And so it is that Paul also ties together his preaching of Christ crucified and his own faith in Christ the crucified. And he does the same for all teachers of the word, telling Saint Timothy that by his preaching of sound doctrine, he will save both himself and those who hear him. For the minister of the gospel, preaching Christ faithfully and faith in Christ are inseparable. Now, it is certainly true that a wicked man can preach the gospel, but no Christian teacher can remain a Christian unless he preaches Christ faithfully. This is why St. Paul speaks with such earnestness in our text for today. He takes the preaching of the gospel personally. He takes his hearers' rejection of the gospel personally, because it is personal. This is the gospel that saves people. Theology is personal. And so Paul says to the Jews in Corinth, "Your blood be upon your own head. I am innocent." Paul declares his innocence because he has as his own judge the God who called him to preach the foolishness of the cross, and he can swear in the presence of this God that he has in fact carried out his ministry. He has in fact done what God gave him to do. There is no need for Paul to pray the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer after his sermons, because he has preached Christ. He has preached God's word faithfully, and there is no trespass there. The preaching of Christ is a matter of life and death, and this for both pastor and hearer. Paul is not simply engaging in apologetical disputes with his Jewish hearers. This is no impersonal academic debate, no mere argument over historical data or philosophical theory. The preaching that Jesus is the Christ is always a preaching of the depth of man's sins, which required such a sacrifice as the cross, and a preaching of the height of God's love, which willingly offered such a sacrifice. And therefore, Paul's preaching that Jesus is the Christ is God's claim upon every human creature, that since God has become a man in Christ Jesus, since he has humbled himself, become obedient unto death, shed his divine blood to satisfy the wrath of God against sinners, since he has risen from the dead, since he has been justified in the Spirit, this man, Jesus, has become the Savior of the world, so that all who believe in him are freed from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And since this preaching is God's own preaching, God's own claim upon his fallen creatures, it is simply not to be disputed by its hearers. It is to be received and believed. Those who do not believe it are left in their sins. They have rejected God and his love. Their blood is on their own head. And that is a very personal matter. But the pastor who does not preach this Christ, the pastor who cowers before the itching ears of his hearers, who waters down the law and thus makes Christ an excuse for sin, or who robs Christ of his glory by presenting the law as somehow salvific, he has blood on his own head. That's the obverse of Paul's declaration here. Paul is innocent because he has preached Christ faithfully, but those who have not preached Christ faithfully are guilty. And they are guilty of others' blood, of their death, and their eternal judgment. This is what Paul says elsewhere. If anyone preach another gospel other than that which I preach to you, let him be anathema. So the preaching of the gospel is personal also for the pastor. Woe to the man called by God to preach Christ who does not preach Christ faithfully. As Paul himself wrote to the Corinthians, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. The faithful preaching of Christ is not simply the recitation of historical facts. I imagine the Jews in Corinth would have had an easier time with the idea of Jesus' historical resurrection than the pagan philosophizers did in Athens. After all, the Pharisees confessed the resurrection of the dead. It was at least theoretically possible for them. No, the scandal and the stumbling block that Paul consistently laid before the Jews was personal. The scandal was the theological import of Christ's death and resurrection. What does it mean that Jesus has died and risen? Well, it means that sin really is that horrendous, that humans really do offend God that much. It means that all self-justification is futile, and that salvation by works is laughable self-delusion. It means that there is salvation in no other than this Jesus. And this is the scandal of particularity. He alone has obeyed the law. He alone has satisfied God's justice. God has set him alone forth as the whole world's righteousness to be received by faith alone, because there simply is righteousness in no other man. This is the offense of the cross, which puts Jews and Gentiles, all people, on the same level as sinners who must beg mercy from their God. And because it insults man's high opinion of himself, it will offend. People will try to contradict it, and they will blaspheme against it. It's personal. But faithful preachers can say with Paul, I am innocent. And since they're innocent, since they have preached the truth of Christ crucified for sinners, they can confidently continue to preach just as Paul did, even after his word was rejected. And preaching does bear its good fruit. Men, women, children, whole households acknowledge their sin, believe in their Lord Jesus, and are baptized into his death and resurrection. They are washed of their sins, and they find in God a Father who is reconciled to them and loves them as dear children. And as the faithful preacher preaches this saving gospel, he also saves himself. Not because preaching the gospel is a good work that gains God's favor, but because preaching the gospel is preaching the word that is God's favor in Christ Jesus our Lord. The preacher, like Paul, should take preaching the gospel personally. Not only has he been entrusted with a word that he is compelled by God to preach for the salvation of souls, but his own salvation depends on the very gospel that sounds from his mouth. To neglect God's call to preach the word faithfully is to neglect one's own salvation. But to pay attention to the call to preach God's word faithfully, and above all, to preach the sweet news of forgiveness and reconciliation in Christ's cross, this is to be innocent. This is to preach that which saves both ourselves and others. This week, we commemorate the blessed saint, C.F.W. Walther. He is the greatest theologian in the history of the LCMS, and a good part of his legacy is his conviction that preaching the law and the gospel, that is, preaching Christ crucified, is always practical, always personal, and never merely academic and theoretical. And so, I end this sermon with Walther's words, which appropriately, especially for us fourth years, is addressed to seminarians about to go out to be pastors for the first time. If you had to preach nothing else than sterile ethics, you might consider that a tedious task, yielding meager results. But if you have experienced what it means to convey to poor, lost, and condemned sinners the consolation of the gospel and say to them only come and believe, I say if you believe this and ponder the full meaning of this, you cannot but look forward with joy to the day when you will stand for the first time before your congregations to deliver this august message. Moreover, you will surely be compelled to say, I have certainly chosen the most beautiful and glorious calling on earth. God grant this to us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.